I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves. And what better way to take care of ourselves than to understand more about our bodies? This series, I've teamed up with Fitbit. Fitbit allows you to get to know yourself better and understand your health with insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as my Fitbit helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Being partnered with Fitbit is inspiring, as they're encouraging everyone to make positive changes, and I hope this podcast does too. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I talk to Claire McKenna. You may know Claire from Ireland AM and her news talk show Alive and Kicking. We started working together over 10 years ago, and Claire has always had a keen interest in wellness. She even went to the Tony Robbins Experience in London and walked on hot coals. Today, she shares her tips on how you can live a healthy life while not being too hard on yourself at the same time. I hope you enjoy. Claire, thank you so much for being a guest on the Good Glow podcast.
Thank you for having me. I have enjoyed listening to it so much, so I'm thrilled. I'm not sure I can live up to some of the inspirational stories I've heard, but I'm very happy to be in the alumni.
We've always been friends. We started working together, I'd say 12 years ago now, in the spin days. But you were especially supportive to me when I got sick, and thank you so much for that. I'll never forget it.
Well, like I said to you, you came on my news talk show, and to watch you blossom from something like that has just been a privilege as a friend. So you've been amazing.
Thank you so much. I love listening to your health and wellness show on news talk because it's so authentic, because to me, you have always been the OG of wellness. So like 10 years ago, you were getting the 2 liters of water in a day. You were always the healthiest person, most zen person in the office. So I just wanted to talk today about wellness and your journey and where it all started for you.
I don't know how I got so into it. Like you say, I've always been into the spirulina, matcha, this, that and the other. I'm buying it. I'm into it. And I think since I took on the health and wellness show, I've got a little bit more grounded in that if I'm bringing something to air, I want to make sure that it's evidence-based. And I have felt a bit more responsible that things carry a bit of weight. But if somebody says this is going to make you feel good, I'm all over it. And I think in school, I don't think they tell you a lot about wellness, about self-care. It's PE, and then that's kind of it. And I was never really a sporty person. But then as I got a bit older, I found the gym, and I'm more of a solitary person. I love being a team player at work, and I love being sociable. But when I'm exercising, I just like to exercise on my own. And once I got into that and proper healthy eating and felt the effects of that on my body, then I think I was just in. And as you say, the water, you name it, I was all over it. And I've just been that way. And I think originally it was about not necessarily punishing my body, but I used to be a lot about abstinence. So I would be holding back from things and trying to be good, in inverted commas. Whereas now I'm a lot more balanced. I'm about being happy and healthy and nourishing my body. So there's been a big change, I think, in the way I look at wellness.
And it's about healthy habits. And like you said, like, I think when you're starting your wellness journey and you're trying to get healthy habits, it's really hard, because I think some people are like, oh my God, like, how will I ever eat 7 portions of fruit and veg a day? How will I ever run 20K a week? But it's about starting small, and then those habits just become part of your daily life.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm no more a martyr. Like, I think having kids really chilled me out, because I used to cook. Ronnie's my husband, and he used to call them Claire dinners. And he'd be like, is it a Claire dinner or is it a Ronnie dinner? And a Claire dinner would be loads of veg and maybe one chicken breast or whatever. And then he'd probably be hungry a little bit later on. But now I'm cooking mammy dinners, and I'm just eating the mammy dinner as well. And I think that taught me that nothing crazy happened with my body if I went out with the girls and had margaritas and pizza, nothing crazy happened with my body. That's okay. I used to be so much more strict. It was a strictness and that used to kind of give me a buzz. Now I've let all of that go and it's more about a buzz of how I feel and making myself feel good. And if, as I say, that involves a pizza, then well and good.
You started off in Spin as on a Current Affairs show with Jonathan McRae, a very good friend of ours. And then you've gone on, people will know you as well from Ireland AM. And now you have your health and wellness show on News Talk. So there's a nice balance there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's been a lot of hustling along the way for sure. And a lot of ups and downs. But I was delighted to get the health and wellness show because it's something that I can really put my own stamp on and really get behind. Like Spin was amazing because it was a talk show. So you were getting people on the phone talking to you, texting in. And that was just a real privilege. And we did that for 5 years. And with Ireland AM, I love it as well. It's a good mix again of people's stories and the news and current affairs. But it's lovely the kind of people that I meet through health and wellness, like the doors it has opened in my life. Like I've got mad into anti-gravity yoga, so hanging from the silk hammock, because I went to try it out for the show. And through that, I met Suzanne, who runs that. I adore her now. I did sound bath meditation. Judith, who introduced me to that. I just did a masterclass yoga with her yesterday. I mean, that's all amazing. It's great to sit and talk about Brexit, but it's actually better to meet the sound meditation people sometimes.
And you've spoken about how you quit the gym in order to just kind of dip your toe into different types of exercise. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think the same as with the food. I'm not anymore about punishing myself. And I can't really think of the word. Punishing sounds a little bit too strong, but I used to be like, you have to do this 4 times a week. You have to be lifting heavy weights. You have to. And if I didn't go, I'd feel guilty. Whereas now I do things that make me feel good and kind of nourish my body and nourish my soul. So I do like a bit of a challenge. That's why the anti-gravity yoga, you need so much upper body strength and ab strength that I don't have, but I'm working on it. So I still want to challenge, but I don't feel I need to be sweating and aching to actually make a difference. So I've really kind of swung around. And like I say, I think it's having kids. I think it's, you know, just letting time pass by. I've just chilled out on things. So I'm a lot more balanced than I might have been.
Because you've got 2 kids, and obviously there's so many people listening to this podcast and they don't necessarily have to have kids, but it's full-time jobs. You're coming home at 6 o'clock. You're absolutely exhausted. Like, how do you motivate yourself to get out the door and do something for yourself?
Well, I only found for the first time that exercise, because you do let it go when you bring home a new baby, exercise falls off the it does, because you're, well, I breastfed my babies, but it's the same if you're bottle feeding, you're with them. But I mean, they're literally a ball and chain if you're breastfeeding, so you're not going anywhere. So the walks kind of go, there's a little bit in the buggy, but that's it. And the gym and all that is just gone. And then you feel more and more tired. But it took years for me to realize that the gym isn't going to pull me down, or getting exercise isn't going to pull me down further. It's actually going to lift me up, and it's actually going to give me more energy. And to go, I used to do a lot of HIIT classes, and to go and just be swinging that kettlebell and counting to 50 and then doing 50 push-ups, and you're not thinking anymore. Because as a mom and a working mom, you have so many things going on in your head at any one time that it can get really overwhelming. So to just go, like, that's as close to meditation as I can get, is to just go and zone out. So whether it's a run, whether it's a yoga class, because you're focused for that 40 minutes on that one thing, that made me a better parent and a better person, because I could come back energized. You kind of think if you add the gym into being a busy mum, it's going to tip you over the edge, but it actually doesn't. It actually energizes you. And it took me years to look at exercise in a positive light like that.
Oh my God, it's the same for me, because before I got sick, I was always like, I have a big pile of ironing in the corner there. I've got this, that and the other to do. Like, I just can't fit it in. But now, since I've started exercising, I realize how much happier I am as a person, as an individual. And that just really lifts the spirits of the rest of the family, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do think it's really important. Like, it can be a walking, talking excuse to have a kid, you know, because ultimately you are taking time away from them, and it has to be a very good reason. Like, I should be doing more running. I have the Great Pink Run on the horizon, another one after that. And I should be doing more. But on Sunday, we all went to the beach in the afternoon, and, you know, we sat in a blanket and the kids were looking in the rock pools. And I did think to myself, you could be running, but you know, I have different goals as well. It can't all be about exercise and work. Some of my goals are about my family, and I think that's really important too.
Have you done the Great Pink Run before?
I've done 10Ks before, but have I done that? I've like a host of t-shirts shoved in with the gym gear. So yeah, I have done a 10K before, and it is great because you do get so much more positive momentum from all the people around you.
There's such a good vibe at the Great Pink Run. Like, I did it last year, obviously, with Breast Cancer Ireland. It's their event. And I did the 5K with my entire family because I just finished treatment. And I remember I was like, I got there really early and I was like, will I go for the 10K? Will I just start ahead of everyone getting here and just do the 10K? But I didn't. I hadn't trained enough and I decided to walk with them because at the time it was more important for me to cross the finish line with them, you know, and Pia came out in her buggy and it was such a good vibe. But this year I'm definitely going to run the 10K. But it's nerve wracking, isn't it? Because you don't know. 10K, it's a long way to go.
I'd sooner run it and get on with it than walk it. Like, chatting with other women is great and you don't feel the K's going by, whereas when you're running it, you're like, you see the kind of sign coming up and you're like, four, really? But you do get a lift. I mean, with running you kind of get a dip and then you come back again. It doesn't go all the way down, and then when you see that finish line you speed up and then it's done, and then it's the endorphins after it.
When I finished the VHI Women's Mini Marathon, that was my first 10K I'd ever done, and I remember Jamie and Pia and my family were all on the bridge just before the finish line, and I was like running, and my legs had gone at this stage. They were like jelly, and I went over the finish line and I didn't know anybody. I was like bawling, and like I just wanted to hug anyone that I could find. And I think someone from the VHI team came up and was like, well done. I was like, oh my God, this is just such an amazing moment. But it's actually a lovely thing to do by yourself, because sometimes it's just nice to just do something alone.
I'm just not a runner. Like, I'm just not built for it. I was never good in like a game of chasing, even now with the kids. I'm just like thump, thump, thump. I'm not a natural runner, but one of my best friends, Alison, has ran the Dublin Marathon, and for the year we all turned 40, she did the New York Marathon. So me and our other pal from our trio went over, and it was just standing on the sidelines and watching these people, because I'm a real goal setter and I love to see people. Like, I get envy watching the Olympics. I get envy from these people who have poured everything into something and then are getting the reward. Like, that just really sings to me. So watching all these people do the marathon, I was like, I want a piece of this. So that's why I signed up for this 10K and this 20K. But I'm not a good runner at all. I'm much better off in the gym on a yoga mat. But look, I'll do it and then I'll hang up my runners, I think.
And do you run listening to music, or are you more into podcasts?
I do listen to music. I prefer to listen to music. But I remember our pal Brian Marr, he did an incredible run. Did he run from Limerick to Dublin or something insane? And he didn't listen to music, because the advice is don't listen to music, because you'll speed up, you know, you won't stay consistent. So you'll have a really big dancey track and you'll mill along and then your legs will be tired. You're supposed to keep your heart rate as consistent as possible. But I don't know any further than that.
I think the great thing about the Great Pink Run is the kind of everyone is running for a reason, you know. And then the same for the VHI Women's Mini Marathon. My legs went at around the 8K mark. And I was walking on the path in Ball's Bridge. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to finish this? And this hand just came from behind me and just started pushing me. And I looked around and it was this older lady. And she was like, keep going, love. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just so emotional. And I'm a bit of an oversharer. I was like, I had cancer last year.
I'm the same. I'm
and
a sharer.
She was like, this is my 20th year doing it. Like, keep going. Don't let it beat you. And I was like, she got me through the last 2K.
Yeah.
So I think if you're doing a run like that and you see someone struggling, to go over and just give them like a little helping hand can do so much for
even
people.
Even the people shouting on the sideline, it does really make a difference. And it's as much a battle for your head as it is for your body. And they say that your mind will give up way sooner than your body will. So if you're saying, I can't, your legs will just stop going. Whereas if you keep saying, and even Alison, my marathon running friend, you have to have these positive mantras going that, you know, as if you're loving it and enjoying it. And I do struggle with that. I mean, the minute I get out, I'm like, I can't run. I don't run. Yeah. I don't like this. And that is just not helping. Your mindset needs to be honed as well.
Tell us a little bit about the Tony Robbins experience, because I'm big into him. Everyone will hear me banging on about him all the time. So you actually went to see him.
Well, years ago, just to bring it back, I was working in a company called Indigo, and it was an internet company, and it was at the start of the internet. Like, we were sending out the CDs that got everyone getting on there, getting online with that crazy noise that used to happen way back when. So there was so much money in the company, and so much money poured into the employees that we were sent on all these positive thinking courses and team building up the Wicklow Mountains and you name it, HR were investing in us big time. So we went to a lot of these goal setting, you know, positive thinking type courses. And I just couldn't get over this. I'd never really thought this way. And when I had left school, I had been, the only thing I was really into in school was like either debating or being on stage. They were the only things I really liked. So I did theatre studies when I left school. But then I left home and realised I was going to have to pay bills. And I didn't think that my time on the stage or not on the stage was going to do that. So that's why I went to the working world. So here I am sitting in front of this guy called Jack Black, and he's saying you can do whatever you want to do. You just have to think positive. You have to goal plan and all that sort of stuff. So that was my first introduction to it. And one of the girls that I worked with there was Sandra, and she was really good at her job, and she was a little bit older than I was. And she went to Tony Robbins. I think she went somewhere in America. And I'd heard that she'd walked on fire, that he does this walking across hot coals. Because the idea is you can do anything you put your mind to if you truly believe it. And you just say, cool moss, cool moss, cool moss. And over you go across the hot coals. So I'd heard that Sandra had done this. And I don't even know how I got in contact with Sandra again. And I said it to her, I always think of you with the Tony Robbins. And she was like, I have the CDs in my car, take them. So I took this block of Tony Robbins CDs that are still in, I drive my hubby's car now, and they're still in the CD loader in the back. Every now and then I hit it by mistake and out he pops, him and Trolls soundtrack that the kids have in there. And I listened to it, and I'm just really into that kind of thing. And he's not hocus pocus. Like, he kind of says, I mean, some people might think he is, but he says you can't stand in a garden and say no weeds, no weeds, no weeds, and the weeds are going to go away. I don't believe in just positive thinking and the power of positive thinking. You have to put the work in. And he talks a lot about how you should put the work in and what that work should look like. And it's things that I kind of try and live by naturally anyway, that you'll find your fuels and feeds your body is move your body. He says get exercise, get up. He says be in peak energy. So I even heard that incredible guest you had on, Kieran, talking about his cancer diagnosis, and he was lying on the bed and he was feeling quite sorry for himself, completely understandably. But the doctor said, why don't you hop on the exercise bike? And the energy started flowing and he felt amazing. And that's a kind of a Tony Robbins type idea, that if you're pulling yourself around saying, I'm exhausted, I'm this, I'm that, you're never going to achieve anything. So that's quite an easy one to kind of tap into as well. And he also says that you should constantly be learning, keep your mind active. And I think we're so lucky now that we have podcasts. It doesn't have to be these big books, like Oprah always talks about reading all these books, and I just think she's got an amazing brain. She's obviously super smart. So sometimes when you finally get into bed at night, you're just not able for Eckhart Tolle. Well, I'm not anyway. Yeah. Whereas if you can listen to it, it's a lot easier. So I was into him, and I kind of said it to my husband has his own business. And I was there, you should listen to Tony Robbins. Like, you know, I'm all about this goal setting and getting out there and doing whatever you want if you put your mind to it. So he listened to him as well. And if things were getting us down, we had this little joke that we used to say, think of Tony. So if one was moaning, we'd be like, think of Tony, get your peak energy going. And this, it was our little joke. So one day then on Instagram, an Instagram ad came up that there was a Tony Robbins seminar happening in Dublin. Now, in fairness, these are sales pitches. So it's offered for free. It's in a hotel in Dublin.
Yeah, I saw that.
You go along, and obviously Tony Robbins is nowhere near the place, but they're his kind of mentors, or so they call them. But they're still always high achievers. So they're people that have done really well in business. The guy we were listening to had run 7 ultra marathons. They're these go-getters that just kind of get you pumped, and you meet other people. And I love all that as well, the kind of meeting people. Like group work, first you're like, oh God, I don't want to go over. And then you kind of get talking to people and find out their story, and it can be really interesting. So was that one of them? But essentially, you get the kind of free session-ish, but then they're like, and why don't you come to London? And why don't you come to this? And why don't you sign up? And they're really selling it to you. But when the weekend for Unleash the Power Within with Tony Robbins came up, it was the weekend of my 40th, and it was in London. And I just looked at him and I was there, like, we have to go.
When was this?
So I'm 41 now. So it's just a year ago.
Okay, okay.
And we had watched, maybe we watched the Netflix documentary after we had booked in to just kind of give ourselves a feel of what we were in for. And I'm really lucky with Ronnie. There's like, some people just wouldn't be into it, but he'd, if I said to him, look, this is going to be good fun, will you come? He'd go anywhere with me. Or if I said, we're going to a man who's going to pat us down with branches, but it'll be good for us, will you come? He'd go. He'd actually go and be like, okay, yeah, grand. I'd be chatting away to your man with the branches and be fine. So he brought me for my 40th. He gave me that as my present, and over we went.
And what was it like? Tell me. I'm so fascinated by it.
So there's 10,000 people go. So it's in the XL Arena in London, which actually is a really big setup, because that was something that was really worrying me. Like, I would panic about healthy eating. I'd be like, and what are we going to eat? Is it just going to be burgers? And, you know, how am I going to get my water? And I mean, obviously there's shops, it's London, Claire, but these are things that would panic me. And you, like, it said that you were there from 9 a.m. until like midnight, and sometimes 2 a.m. And I was thinking, how is this all going to work? But actually the setup in the XL Arena is amazing. There's plenty of healthy eating places. I was very happy. And you can leave anytime you want, and it'll take you nearly 15 minutes to kind of get all the way out, go to the bathroom, maybe get your water, maybe get a coffee, and then go back in. And you kind of need those breaks. And I think, like, it is expensive. It is an expensive thing to do. And I think probably years ago, you got more value for money out of it because Tony Robbins was there all the time. But he's doing it so long that he can't do it anymore. His voice goes, and he's been told by doctors that he shouldn't. And he shouts and roars, even when he's normally talking. But at this, he's bellowing the whole time. So you get one day with Tony and one day off, and it's one of his mentors. And sometimes they're just shown YouTube videos of Tony. And sometimes I was a bit like, well, this is a bit.
Mm.
But that aside, it was an incredible experience. Like, I think I was just there. I wasn't searching for anything necessarily. I was just going along to experience it, to kind of reinvigorate maybe some ideas that I may have had. But I wasn't necessarily looking to fill any major void. So I think that's important as well. There's lots of group work. There's lots of dancing around. There's lots of pumping music and getting you to peak energy. And there's loads of just bouncing around this arena. That's the thing that really I remember. And it's because there's so many people, you think it wouldn't feel like a community, but it does. And all his staff are amazing. And I asked Ronnie, what does he really remember from it? Because I was trying to go through it in my mind and remind myself. And he said, there's so much high-fiving. And there's so much high-fiving. And I actually don't like high-fives. I don't like when people in work want to high-five you. I'm not into it. But there, you're high-fiving like a mad thing. And when you come in the morning, all the staff are like, hey, welcome, and high-fiving you. It actually is a really good, it actually is full of good vibes. So he talks through some of the things, like I said, like the importance of moving your body, the importance of peak energy, and tells stories about his life and how he was sort of down on his luck and down and out, and how he turned himself around. And he talks a lot as well about the amount of people he's worked with that have reached the heights of financial success, including himself, but still weren't fulfilled. And that mm-hmm. the only way to be fulfilled is to give back. And that's why he does so much charity work now. And so there's a lot of stuff that you can really kind of learn from, I thought, rather than go get him, you can do it. Like, it's not necessarily just that.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing, because in the documentary, like, he goes out into the audience and picks out certain people. And what always stuck with me is that he talked to a girl, and maybe she'd go, oh, my dad wasn't around and he was an awful father. And then he goes, yeah, you should thank him, because that situation made you who you are today. And it's, I suppose, a different way of looking at things.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pity. He didn't do that.
Okay.
He didn't go down into the audience and pick people out. And I mean, look, I work in TV. I know for that documentary, I know any big production, everyone's going to say it's staged. They're going to know who that girl was in mm-hmm. row C. But I mean, she's still a genuine girl who's there for a genuine reason. But he can see into people's soul, like a psychologist even, or like a therapist who can just ask the right questions and nudge you in the right direction. But unfortunately, he didn't do that. I mean, on the first night you walk across the fire, and I kind of thought we'd warm up to that a little bit, but that was the first night.
And did you do it?
Yeah, and I was really scared. I think you are in a kind of a state of hypnosis. Like, it goes on for about an hour where you're prepared and you have to just keep saying yes, yes, yes. And then you have to leave your shoes behind you, again, something that was kind of worrying me, and walk out into the car park. And they have all the fire beds laid out in the car park, and they have this drum music playing, and everyone's going out in their bare feet just going yes, yes, yes. Like, it was madness. And like, I look at Ronnie and there's not a bother on him. He is clapping his hands. He's shouting yes. And the human connection thing, and the reason I thought about that, is you meet people and you start saying, why are you here? And like, it's the same if you go to get a coffee, there's someone beside you with the wristband on and you're like, oh my God, why are you here? And that's amazing to get people's stories. And there'd been a woman there who had her kids when she was a teenager, and now her son had brought her, and she was there with her son, and he was like, this is the first thing my mom has ever really done for herself. And like, I saw her walking in front of me in her bare feet, and I'm like, if she's doing it, I'm doing it. But I really was like scared. And he kept saying, that's what was scaring me. He was saying, look, you can burn your feet, you know, and like, it's happened to me. And I'm like, okay, because he'd build you up and you'd be like, okay, I can do this. And then he'd be like, no, don't forget, you could burn your feet. And I just need to tell you that. And then I'd be right back down going, I don't think I can do this. But he said, when you walk across the fire and you can't run, you have to walk with purpose. And when you get across, don't forget to wipe the embers off the soles of your feet, he was saying. I can't even believe I'm saying this. Like, it sounds like it's madness that I did this, but this is genuinely how it happened. And he said, you know, if you forget, you'll get burnt. And it happened to me once. You have to stay in your peak energy. Don't let it drop when you get to the side. Don't be like, oh, I'm okay. Don't forget. And you'll get rinsed off, and then you can celebrate. Then it's amazing. Then definitely do it. So I felt a bit sick, but I got there, and they have these kind of sinister looking guys with like bandanas over their mouths. That's probably for the smoke, but they're pouring the hot coals on, and they're like refreshed. They're standing there with these shovels, and it's all a bit menacing. It's all a bit dark, and the music is playing. And myself and Ronnie, it's not like we got separated, but you all of a sudden you just realized you're in a queue for the fire pit, and there's loads of them all set up side by side. And so he was kind of two people ahead of me, and he just did it. But you're still in the kind of yes, yes zone. So you're not really fully conscious. It's kind of like, it reminds me of like when I was in labor, you know, that zone that you're kind of in, where you know everything's happening around you, but you're still in a bit of a zone. It was kind of like that. And then it got to me, and I was kind of ready. And then this woman just stood in front of me. And I remember thinking, this is all while I'm clapping and saying yes, but my head is saying they're onto me. They know I'm not ready. This is why she's here. And she was just saying yes, but I noticed they're putting more coals on. That's why. So that's freaking me out. I'm still saying yes. And then I'll never forget the woman. I can still see her now. And she kind of had a t-shirt. You knew she was from Tony's team kind of thing. And she just said, you've got this. And then she just stood out of the way. And the next thing, I was just over the other side.
Oh my God.
It was mad. And Ronnie was there, and he was like, oh my God. And then you're like, oh my God, we did it. And that was amazing. I mean, for that alone, I think. And there's sometimes, like, I was doing a thing for Ireland AM up in Derry, and they have this big peace bridge. And, you know, we were like obviously talking about visiting the city and getting around the city. So they had me going on this big skateboard. And the guy said, usually I'd spend 2 hours training people on this, but you've got 20 minutes. And then the cameraman and the producer are like, OK, so you go to the other side of the peace bridge, come down on the skateboard, and we'll film you and all. And I remember just like walking up, and I was like, you walked across fire, Claire. You can do this. So I do remember it from time to time. And the rest of the time then is all about your transformation, letting go of any of your negative feelings. And that was all very intense. And you kind of had to sit down and write down This is on the next day. I mean, you used to fall back to the hotel exhausted, but this on day two, and I remember looking at Ronnie, like he wasn't writing anything down. And I was like, what about your self-limiting beliefs? I mean, I think I was on page two. I had loads of things that, you know, negative I say to myself on a regular basis. And he just didn't even understand what that was, which just boggled my mind. That'll just show you the joy that goes on in his day.
And what do you do then when you write down, or is it this, you tell yourself you can't do something, or you tell yourself you're not good enough?
Yeah. So he's talking about leaving that behind and stepping into the new you. So you have to write all these things down and then share it with a stranger. And the girl that I met then, I mine was all like really superficial things, like, well, I mean, some were like, I'm not good enough, but then some would have been like, you know, I don't even know if I wrote down I'm not slim enough, but you know, all this kind of stupidness that goes on, or I could, you know, be more toned, or whatever I had written down, because you just write it all down, you kind of forget you're going to be saying it out loud. But mine were all fairly shallow. I mean, some of them were to do with work and, you know, believing in myself, but some of them were fairly shallow. And she was like, I think I'm cursed because, like, I was abused when I was a child, and, you know, I think I brought that on myself, and I'm just, you know, I seem to cause trouble wherever I go, and I'm just afraid that if I get close to anyone that they're going to hurt me as well. And I was like, oh my God, putting my page down. And then he would kind of like turn all the lights out, and everyone is like, you have to just like scream it out and let it go. And like people were bawling, crying, and it was mad. Like, it was mad. And you just kind of stay in your own little zone. But that, I mean, that's an intense kind of experience. And then they had Pitbull that night to come in, because he was mad into Tony Robbins because his mum used to listen to the tapes in the car. I said to Ronnie, we can't do Pitbull. No. I just want to go home. I want to get some dinner and I want to relax. So look, it was a mad experience, but it was a good experience, and it was definitely something I'm glad that we did together.
And like, even if you take one thing from it, and obviously writing down those things is about acknowledging them. And I think once you acknowledge something, like I had to acknowledge my cancer, like I couldn't just block it out. I had to sit down in a room and say, like, I have cancer and there's nothing I can do about it. And I think when you write stuff down like that, just from what I've learned from counselling, is that it's really important to acknowledge the hurt and the pain in order to move on.
Like, I mean, I still have self-limiting beliefs, you know, I still have things that rock around in my head that, you know, why didn't that happen? Is it because I'm not good enough? What about that? But at least I catch myself now. I don't know if that weekend, things that I wrote down, did I fully leave them behind? I think it's just part of what we have going on in our head at any one time. Like, I do remember Ronnie's great aunt. She was an amazing woman. She was like small like a bird, but an absolute powerhouse of a woman. And she said she used to write down something that was bothering her, and she used to write it down at the end of the day, and she used to leave it on the kitchen table, and she'd go to bed, and she'd wake up the next day, and then she'd throw it in the bin, and she'd be like, no, that's yesterday's problem. Wow. And on she'd go. And I, you know, I don't even know if I have that. I just always have so much going on in my head at any one time. I just try and control it as best I can.
On your show, you have, like, it's great. You have three different topics per week. So you'd have like a true life story, and then you'd have an expert, and you've had things like forest bathing, the Wim Hof method. Is there anything that sticks out to you as something you were like, whoa, or really impressed by?
Yeah, I kind of keep little things. That's why I'm so lucky. I kind of keep little things that I've learned along the way, like with the Wim Hof method. Neil O'Murku went and trained with Wim Hof. And Wim Hof was somebody that I came across at that Tony Robbins weekend. They kind of showed a video of him talking. I think he used to be part of it more. And he basically says we've forgotten about our breath and how important our breath is in managing everything to do with our body. And if we have control of that, we can control everything. And that's why he can get into iced water. They've even injected him with virus and his temperature doesn't even spike. And they thought that he was just an anomaly. So he took a group of 10 people. He trained them in his Wim Hof method, which is just down to breathing. And the same thing happened to them as well. So he's incredible. And Neil O'Murku here in Ireland has trained with him. So he invited me to his home. And it's just the whole wellness sector, the type of people you meet. Now, I know you can walk into any bank, any business, any shop and meet lovely, warm people. But there's just something about people that have found wellness. Like, he had four kids, two of which were twins. Him and his wife were all over the place between work and kids and stressed. and they just needed to find something, and now they found this, and now he shares it with other people. So he does this deep breathing exercise with you, and then out you go to his garden and hop into the ice bath. And he said that even three deep breaths engages a part of your brain to relax it. So even now, if I'm going into a situation that I'm nervous about, whether it's a work thing or, you know, standing up in front of lots of people, I'll do that three deep breaths. And it's like I know that switch is going off in my brain, and I'm calm. And the fact that my work now, the people I speak to in radio, are giving me those little tidbits, I'm delighted. So yeah, I keep something from most people with me all the time.
Jamie, my husband, loves Wim Hof, and if anyone is listening and wants to know more about Wim Hof, his podcast with Russell Brand is brilliant, and I just think he's so fascinating. And since Jamie has gotten into the Wim Hof stuff, he started to go swimming three mornings a week in the sea. So it's really kind of transformed. Like, I see such a, it's kind of a calmness in Jamie, because, you know, he works a busy job and stress is a big part of his life. But I think starting off the day right with something like that can give you so much.
And Neil even says, like, it's part of the Wim Hof method, you don't have to jump in the sea or in an ice bath. You can start with your shower in the morning. Mm. So even if you turn your shower down to cold, start with 5 seconds, start with 10 seconds. And it's about not letting your body get into that panic, that you just don't allow that to happen. And you just, like, put your shoulders down, deep breathe. And before you know it, you can be up to a minute, 2 minutes. Like, I'm saying all this, I couldn't tell you the last time I did it, but I know it all. And I still do really value the people that I met. Like, Neil had me into his house. His wife was there. They are doing a thing, actually, because they're kind of campaigning for all this sewage that's going out into the seas, like plenty of people around the country. So they are having a swim quite close to me one early morning. I think it's on the 14th. And I think I'm going to go and do that, because I haven't done that. And it's just this idea of telling your brain you can't do something when actually you can. And what that does to your overall life once you overcome that is incredible. So yeah, it's better than walking across hot coals.
Yeah. It's like Sheila Shoga was speaking to me about the dip in the nip, and how, like, all of the hundreds of women on the beach ran into the freezing cold water. And she said, like, for a minute, everyone was screaming. And then she said there was this, like, calmness. She said the energy was just amazing. And Claire Solan has done it as well, the dip in the nip, and said she got so much out of it.
Naked, though. Naked is a lot. Yeah. I mean, I even thought when I saw all the media people, I know you were there at Centre Parks, and the fact that everyone got into their swimsuits.
And that'd, you were seeing, enough, like, oh my God, I'll never forget. I came out of the changing room in my swimsuit, and I saw Kieran Cudahy from the News Talk breakfast team in his swimming trunks. And I was like, oh my God, this is so awkward.
So that's probably a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Tell us, because you've like talked about so many different things. The super she movement in the island of Finland, where it's only women that go to this retreat. Yeah. What did you think of that?
I didn't know what to make of that. I mean, they were kind of saying that women can be distracted by men being around, that we'll either want to reach for our robe to cover ourselves up, or we might want to reach for our lipstick to impress them. And I don't know about that, particularly because we live in a world now where it's not just opposite sex couples, it's same sex couples. So presumably we're going to have some women that are going to be looking to reach for the lipstick for the other woman. So I just don't really understand why. I mean, I do think sometimes between men and women, you can feel a little bit more vulnerable. I think it's a really sad way to feel. Sometimes if I'm on my own with a man in a lift, just this thought crosses your mind. I don't know why, because they're stronger than you. And I kind of give out to myself for having it, because the majority of people you meet are really nice. But I don't know whether you'd need an island to yourself because you're threatened by the opposite sex. I don't think so. I like human connection. And if I go to a retreat weekend, it wouldn't bother me if there was guys there, girls there. Mm. In fact, the more the merrier.
And on your show, there's a lot of true life stories. Like, how do you research who you want on? Because you've had, like, Jen's journey on. I was on talking about cancer. And it's a really nice part of the show, I think, is just to get... Just, it's so real.
Yeah, I think, like you think if you've worked in radio, someone that's got a good story to tell, like, it's the people. I think that's what I love most about my job. That's why I got into it in the first place. Like, obviously there must be part of me, if I wanted to be up on stage, likes the performance element of it, but it's more about the people. And any of the time I remember being on Spin with the phone show, it was the people that were really sharing from their soul about miscarriage, about abuse, or having a laugh about things that went wrong at their wedding. That's what I love. So I think if I hear a story that I know people can connect with, like my good friend Karen, who I worked with years ago, who lost her husband. He was away. They live in Australia, and he was away on a lad's weekend, and he fell and he was killed instantly. And she had spent the night before, she always worked late, and the night before he died, he had rang her, obviously they didn't know this was going to happen, and said, come home, Karen, will you? And she said something was just different that night. She said, okay, I'll be home. And they had bolognese and a bottle of wine, and they watched a movie, and then he went off the next day and he died. And she said her grieving would have been so much harder if she hadn't have gone home that night, because she would always have been kicking herself. So she works, she's really high up now in Facebook and Instagram, and she works with companies to promote Make It Home for Bolognese, and she gives talks everywhere. And like, I know the story so well now, and it's still giving me goosebumps.
You shared that on Facebook and I watched it, and then I shared it. It is, if anyone hasn't seen it, I'd say if you put into YouTube the Bolognese story,
yeah,
maybe it would come up.
Make It Home for Bolognese.
It absolutely blew my mind. I still think about it all the time, and every time I make Bolognese I think of her.
And I do, and I try and think of it, and yet I still go out to Ronnie if he hasn't emptied the dishwasher, and I'm like, Claire, appreciate what you have. And I do, and I really do, and I do really operating in gratitude 99.9% of the time, because I do think that's really important. But yeah, there's times I forget how lucky I am, because, you know, if you're annoyed about a dishwasher, you might not give that proper goodbye at the door, and you just don't know when the last time is going to be. So it's stories like her that I just felt needed to get out there, and I knew she'd tell it well. So yeah, it just depends on who the person is.
Because I always heard from you, I hear from you all the time about my podcast, but especially after Sinead Tingston and Jenny Miller, and I still get messages every day from people about them.
They're so inspirational. Even I've started to follow Sinead since, and you know, she's so real, and I think that's what's so nice. Social media gets a lot of flack for, you know, being false, but there's so much realness on Instagram. So she'll still say now, she just had her most beautiful wedding and how happy she is with her husband and, you know, two kids now. And then someday she's like, I'm having a really bad day, and that's going to happen sometimes. And to share that, I think, is incredible.
Especially when she spoke about how she went to visit Jeff's grave for the first time as a married woman again. She is just amazing. I think she's just an incredible person.
Yeah, and she makes me think of throwing my legs out of the bed, you know, in the morning. And if she can do it, and if people can just get on and overcome so much. And it was the same with you. Like, you used to say that getting up for early morning shifts, you'd be like, oh God, and I'm exhausted. And then once you came out the other side of cancer treatment, you're like, I'm alive. Everything's great. The sun is shining. Let's get up. Let's go. So, you know, I do let it slip from time to time, but I do try and remember that too.
Tell us a little bit about your healthy habits, because I'm big on healthy habits. Mine is like to drink a pint of water when I get up, or to get out for a run three times a week. Like, what are yours?
I am known for my water addiction. I never go anywhere without a bottle of water beside me. The whole plastic ruining the world is kind of killing me a little bit, so I try and just refill it anywhere. So any workplace I go that there's a drum, I'm there refilling. And I try and drink a little bit more out of the tap. Like, I've tried to relax things a little bit, because sometimes I'd be like, oh, what about the plastic, and what about the fluoride in the tap water? And then you'd be putting yourself in knots. So I just try and chill a little bit more when it comes to health and wellness, but I always have my water with me. I make sure I exercise at least twice a week. Three times, four is my hope. And I eat well. I do eat really well. I don't eat a lot of junk. I love going out for dinner. I love like loading on the chips, getting the dessert, all that kind of stuff. But I do kind of keep that for for treat time. But like I said, I'm all about balance now. I just want to nourish my body. I don't want to feel like I'm abstaining for anything or that there's a good food or a bad food. Like my kids already know that I'm a bit of a health nut, and my son's like, you don't have to be healthy all the time, Mom. So I can't retell that story to him, I'm afraid, but I don't like to let them know that there's good foods and bad foods, because I just think, like, my kids are the ones at a party who don't leave the sweet table. They're there for the whole time until my daughter gets sick. So there has to be a bit of balance, you know, and I do try and have that a little bit more. But yeah, I do mind myself, and I do think that when you're eating well and when you're getting your exercise and when you're taking your time, then you do really reap the benefit.
Oh, Claire, thank you so much for coming in today. We can catch you on Ireland AM on News Talk Alive and Kicking on Sunday mornings. And thank you for being such a great friend to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, made possible by Fitbit. Fitbit wants you to be empowered by providing you with personalized data about your health so you can make positive changes to lead a healthier lifestyle. Life is about balance and action, not lots of distractions. Get to know yourself better and understand your health with Fitbit. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review and follow me on Instagram at Georgie.Crawford.